Hello, my dear friends. What is going on? I hope everyone is doing well, enjoying the random spurts of nice weather, and welcome back once again to a brand new episode of Sweeten Up Podcast, season number 2, episode number 84. I am your host, Jeff Spencer. Thank you so much for taking some time to join me today. I greatly appreciate it, whether you have for an entire season, an entire year, or you are today for the first time. Thank you so much for joining us. However, if you are just joining us for the first time, take a look back at our library of 83 episodes anytime you want, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. As always, if you like what you hear on the podcast today and you want to hear more, please be sure to tell all your friends and subscribe to the show anywhere you get your podcasts so that you never miss a future episode. The podcast is available on all major podcast platforms, and you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Sweeten Up Podcast. With that being said, my guest on the podcast today is the great and powerful Jeff Schaller. Jeff Schaller is an artist in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. His work has been featured on the hit TV show Friends and can be seen at local watering holes in Pennsylvania like Iron Hill Brewery. Jeff's work is collected both nationally and internationally, and it is also included in the Coca-Cola Museum and Lancaster Museum of Art. I had a fantastic chat with Jeff, great name by the way, talking about how he got started in the art world, his artwork that was featured on the hit TV show Friends, visiting the set of Friends and hanging out with Courtney Cox, his favorite works, where you can purchase his art, visiting galleries all over the world, and so, so much more. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, my friend and one talented individual, the wonderful Jeff Schaller. Joining me on the podcast today via Zoom video conferencing, it is a total honor and pleasure to have this talented and funny individual on the other side of my computer screen. He is an artist in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. His work has been featured on the hit TV show Friends and is included in the Coca-Cola Museum, amongst others. The wonderful Jeff Schaller joins me on the show. And Jeff, how are you, my friend? What's going on?
Oh, man. Thank you for that intro. That was too good for me, but thank you. Life is good. Life is good. Thank you for having me on and looking forward to it.
Of course, of course. Like I said before we got going, that it was so nice to reach out to you and find out that you were mutual friends with Robert Mars, who was a guest on the show. And I hope you enjoyed the episode.
You said
you were going to listen, so I was like, I hope you enjoyed it.
No, I did. And then he emailed me, and you guys emailed me. I'm like, so close to coming up and seeing you guys and hanging out. That would have been totally awesome. But
A
couple hours away.
Yeah, exactly. You're over there in Pennsylvania. But listen, Jeff, thank you so much, like I said, for coming on the show. This is great. I'm so glad we got connected. Huge fan of your work. And I can't wait to get into Friends because I'm obsessed with Friends. It's one of my favorite TV shows ever. I watch it every day, every night, all the time. It never gets old for me. So I can't wait to talk to you about how that came to be.
Best thing about COVID, it came back out on Netflix and like made my career again.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. And it reruns on Nickelodeon all the time on TV. That's another place where I've seen it. And TBS. TBS plays it a lot during the day as well, during the week. Yeah, so it airs a lot every day. I can't imagine those checks that are coming in for them. It's like, it's that Seinfeld money, as they say. but listen, Jeff, one place I like to start with my guests, and I do it with all my guests because I like to get their take and their perspective on how they got through such a difficult time in the last couple of years with COVID. So, especially being an artist and everything that you do, I'm sure the aspect of galleries and meeting people in person was something that kind of was on the back burner. But I'm sure, being an artist where you're in your studio and you're kind of secluded as it is, I'm sure that had its benefits as well. So definitely tell me about how you got through COVID on a personal level and a business level.
Oh man, where to begin? I guess I can start with Friends. So lockdown, the two-week vacation that I thought we were all going to have started, what, March 13th?
Yes, the week of, yeah, that week, yep.
So the week before, March 8th, I sent out the Cup of Joe G. Clay Print to the set of Friends because they were going to record March 27th. So I had set that out and I was like, this is going to be awesome. My career is going to take off once again, maybe. I'm going to jump around a lot here. So forgive me.
No worries. I
did an interview for, I run a studio tour in Chester County, Pennsylvania. I had 179 artists. I was about to go to print with 8,000 catalogs that were about going to cost me about $22,000. And they just said, we're going to shut down just for 2 weeks and then we're going to open up. And I'm like, that was the most stressful time in the world because it was like, okay, do I give all this money back to the artist? Because the studio tour wasn't until May. So, 2 weeks, that'll put us to what? April 1st. We're good. And I pulled the plug on it. Thank God that I pulled the plug on it. And March 12th, it's so vivid. It's crazy. It's like 2 years ago. March 12th, my daughter was coming home from college for the first time. So my wife and I went to Philly. We're going to make a night of this. Oh, and we had dinner at Marimoto. Like,
oh, nice.
A hard to get in sushi place. Ooh. And there was like 12 people there. So all of a sudden everybody was like, they were out. And we got on the train that morning to go pick up my daughter. And it was kind of weird. There was like nobody around. We went to go buy coffee and I paid with cash. And it was like, ooh, no. Yeah. That's cootie money. We can't take that. Pay by credit card. And then all of a sudden my daughter came. So it was beautiful. My daughter came home from college. My other daughter was home from college. My son was home. I posted on Facebook. I'm like, this is like that 1 week between Christmas and New Year's, where everybody sits around in their pajamas, eats cookies and doesn't get dressed and drinks all day because yep. We're not exactly sure what's going on. So I was like, sweet. 2 weeks. We took walks. I lost like 10 pounds. Because I was eating spinach. Well, of course, I was like, holy crap, the world's going to shut down. Let's see what we got to eat. I ended up buying a quarter of a cow 2 days before, and we got that in. So my refrigerator was stocked, freezer was stocked. I'm like, I am good. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, and here we are.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And I was kind of a little excited, I have to admit. And by the second week, I was kind of like, if this is what retirement's like, I want in. So, yeah, then all my shows ended up starting to get canceled. And I still had a mortgage to pay and insurance to pay and everything else to pay. So I got some scrap paper and made these prints. They were postcard size, 4x6. And they were kind of who knew it would be so foretelling that they were kind of like the World War II propaganda posters. It was be a good neighbor, stay over there, wash your damn hands, and Quarantini Martini, because I was making martinis like in a pint glass size. Ironically, I had a whole Tyvek suit and a gas mask. So I started making videos and putting out a print a week. And it was insane. I was like working more than I ever had. And I'm an artist, but I don't like to do that.
Yeah.
But so it was like production time. I would, let's say the week would start Monday, Tuesday, come up with an idea, Wednesday, silk screen the print. Thursday and Friday, make a video with the family, release it at 5 o'clock on Friday, sell out of them, package them up Sunday, Monday, and ship them out Monday and start all over again Tuesday.
Wow.
And then I did a Valentine's Day special. I did a Mother's Day special. I did, and then it's like, okay, June, everything's going to be lifted. I did okay, that's all, folks. And I was still making them. I'm like, oh my gosh, when is this going to end?
Is that what's behind you?
What?
The what you're talking about? The green card?
Oh, no. The print, okay. No, those are postcards.
Oh, that's cool.
No, the prints and the videos are on my website.
Okay.
And it was actually an awesome time. My kids were home. They're, what are they? They were 17, 20, 19, and 21. So they were kind of all in that whole Instagram and TikTok stuff. So they were coming up with ideas that we were filming, and I just filmed everything with my iPhone and edited it. I'm glad it's over, but it was really cool.
That's awesome.
And And my studio is 100 yards from my house. So I'm used to being home and being by myself. Happy hour started a little earlier, around 3 o'clock, which was kind of like, oh crap.
Nice.
But we were grilling. I have a pool like right outside my, it was, I can't really bitch. It was good.
Yeah. I've seen that video on your website where you walk into your studio and I see like this pool behind you and I'm like, oh man, Jeff Schaller lives the life. he's got his studio little man cave and he's, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I had a bar outside. The worst part was when Wolf shut down the liquor stores. But then I'm gonna throw a call out, Manitowney Distillery. I was starting to do these videos, and I poured a whole gallon of Tito's vodka into a cup. And one of my buddies owns Manitowney, and he's like, "Hey, if I give you, you know, gin, will you use our product?" I'm like, holy crap. The world has aligned. You know, stars have aligned. Free booze. Sign me up. I will make videos till the end of my life, which could probably be pretty soon if I keep on drinking that much. But it was good. I can't really say.
That's awesome.
I guess the bad part is, and this is going to sound horrible, but like 9/11 was kind of special after that. It was a horrible incident, but we all got together and it was like, it was really cool. I was thinking COVID would bring us together, but it didn't. And that's the one sad part about it.
No, I agree with that. It didn't sow the seeds and the bonds that we shared after 9/11 and during other instances like Hurricane Katrina and all that.
Yes, exactly.
And Sandy Hook school shooting, which I was directly involved in. So things like that, we definitely came together and
I kept on saying, you know, because I was on the board of an art association and involved a couple of things. It's like, okay, how are we going to survive? And I kept on saying it, which was so trite, but like, we're all in this together. Like, nobody's doing anything different. Nobody's, you know, going out and doing something and getting ahead or stealing a market or whatever. It was kind of like, oh yeah, we have no idea what's going on. So that was kind of interesting.
Well, I'm glad to hear that COVID was a time for you to be able to continue to work on what you do and own your craft, and at the same time be able to spend a lot of quality time with your family, which is great. I mean, you know, having your kids show you TikTok, Instagram stuff. I mean, yeah. I mean that's great, and that's memories I hope to have with my future kids and stuff like that. And so that's awesome. And you know, one other thing I want to ask you as we get going here is, definitely talk to me about your relationship with Robert Mars and how you got to know Rob, because Rob is a good friend of mine. We get together pretty frequently and I love to hear stories of things that he's done, because he's done some cool stuff. But I would definitely like to know how you guys met, because definitely he was a popular episode on the show and just a great guy.
Well, yeah, Rob is like a superstar. He's got like 30,000 followers and stuff like that. He's awesome. I was kind of a stalker, tracked him down. I was doing a t-shirt show for a local gallery, and I liked his work, and I'm going to screw this up. Adidas. I don't know. He's working for one of the sneaker companies.
Yeah. Adidas. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I'm kind of like, I want some of your shirts. I was doing t-shirts with Bam Margera, Threadless, and Rob. And I was kind of like, I want your shirts. So we hooked up at Art Expo, I think. And He gave me the shirts and we talked and hit it off. And then he came to my opening at Kidder Smith in Boston and we hung out that night. Burton Morris came up. He's an artist from LA. And we went out in New York. I met him up in New York. So we hung out that night. And then his family came down for, I don't know, 4 days and hung out by the pool. And we had, yeah. And then I did an interview with him. I did some interviewing again, kind of a bad podcast. But that was all writing. Yeah, I typed it.
Blog, right?
blog. Yeah, silly. Yeah, and we just been friends there. We talk maybe every couple of months or not as much as I'd like to.
But. Yeah, no, he's definitely super interesting. And I just thought that was so cool that when we started chatting, we had that connection. And I definitely feel like we gotta come by to you where the pool is and everything. I gotta come by.
Please, yeah, come on down.
I gotta come over to Pennsylvania. I mean, it's been a while. And are you near Pittsburgh? I love Pittsburgh, or no?
No, closer to Philly. We're Philly? About okay. 45 minutes.
I like Philly too. I have the editor and writer on our show, Nick Passacreta. He's from Manayunk. Definitely. I've spent some time out there and, some time in Philly. And it's a great city. It's a cool place. Great area. Yeah,
it's very cool. I'm probably a little more on the countryside, a little more on the country bumpkin towards Lancaster.
Nice.
So, but yeah, if we sober up, we can go into Philly if you want. If we can get you and the family out of the pool and away from the bar, we'll go into Philly.
Sounds good. And, you know, it's funny. I have a decent amount of roots to PA, let alone with my friend Nick and had another friend, Ben, who lived in PA for a little bit. My friend Ben, he went to Muhlenberg College in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And we did a radio show there. And that was kind of how I got my chops for what I'm doing now. So,
hilarious.
So Pennsylvania, holds a special secret place in my heart for sure.
And I'm the opposite because I lived and grew up and born in Connecticut.
Exactly. And I'm so glad you mentioned that because my next question for you is, talk to me, man, where did you grow up, your childhood, early days, and how did all that culminate to what you do today?
Oh my, how much time do we have?
All the time in the world.
I'm not that fascinating. I born in Manchester, Connecticut, which is outside of Hartford. And then my family moved to Ellington, Connecticut, which infamously 2-to-1 cows to people relationship. So we had 2 cows for every 1 person.
And real quick, you're the 4th person to come on my show who's from Manchester, Connecticut. We had 2 guests ago. We had someone from Manchester. We had a photographer from Manchester. There's a lot of people who live in Manchester. Yeah.
Manchester was really cool growing up. I grew up there until I was 10. And then I moved out to the country where my nearest neighbor was a half a mile away. And it was woods. And I was like, holy, that's like the last thing you want to do as a teenager. Like,
Ellington, Connecticut. Yeah. I never heard too much about that place, but they have a great brewery now.
Brookside?
Yeah, it's tremendous. Brookside, yeah.
Yes. And Treehouse is only like 45 minutes away.
Exactly. Man knows his beer. Jeff Schaller knows his beer. Talking Treehouse.
Yeah. I probably shouldn't say this because my mom's probably going to be listening, but I did sneak away from a family event one time to run up to Treehouse and get a 6-pack. It wasn't that far.
I knew the minute I chatted with you, we were going to get along really well. I told you it was because of our name, but I don't even know. I feel like we were separated at birth many years.
Brother from another mother.
Exactly. But that's cool growing up in Connecticut.
Yes. Yeah. Same exit as UConn, University of Connecticut.
Yeah. So
After I went to college in Pennsylvania, it was Beaver College and it was now Arcadia. But going back into Connecticut, as a college student and drinking, we'd go up to Thumper's over by UConn, and then we'd go to the Russian Lady in Hartford and spend, I don't know, is that still there?
It sounds familiar. I don't know. It just sounds familiar.
spend some time hitting the bars in Hartford. But fast forward, met my wife in at Arcadia, and she was from Wildwood, New Jersey.
Oh, and Wildwood.
Yeah.
The boardwalks and the beaches.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Lots and lots of people. So she's like, well, we're going to move to New Jersey. I'm like, heck no. She's like, well, I'm not going to Connecticut because Connecticut is up in no man's land. So we settled on Pennsylvania. So that's how we got here. So I still have all my family is up in Connecticut.
Nice. Where about?
So my parents owned some businesses in Rockville. So they still live in my mom lives in Ellington. My dad lives in Hebron, and he makes maple syrup and stuff.
Nice.
My half-brother lives Hebron area, Stafford. Yeah, basically that. They kind of all moved out of Manchester. I have still some aunts and uncles that live in Manchester still.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Connecticut roots. I love it.
I know. I love going up there and going to taking my kids to like Shady Glen and stuff like that. Oh, you're not that close up to Shady Glen. You have
I know what you're talking about though.
Yeah, you guys have what off of Meridian Turnpike Ted's steamed cheeseburger?
Yeah, Ted's.
Those are banger. We stopped there too. Yeah, we made a trip down to there.
Oh, that's so good. And then the pizza in here in our state is tremendous. I mean, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We want you back, Jeff Schaller. It's time to move. Don't worry. I'll find you a place with a studio and a pool right next to it. Don't worry. I got you. That's great. You know, I want to dive into some of your works, but one I want to dive into the most first, just to give people an idea. You know, I know they can't see it, but obviously if they go to your website, they can definitely see it. And real quick, what is your website just for people listening right now?
JeffSchaller.com. JeffSchaller.
There you go. There you go. So if you're listening right now and you want to see what I'm talking about. So you have a piece. I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, major.
Oh,
That piece with the Star Wars with the Milky Way wrapper and all that going on. Talk to me about that piece. I love it. Love it.
Well, I just love to dive into my childhood. And as I get older, there's more and more people that seem to be born in the 70s and remember that whole era. So that was the original poster with Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. And I was doing a whole cinema and candy play. So to me, it's very linear thinking. It's so obvious. But it's like, so there's Star Wars, a galaxy far, far, far away. And then I put the Milky Way in front of it. And then behind that, it says, you are here. So you're some way between the Milky Way and a galaxy far, far, far away. I'm really kind of a simpleton, but every once in a while I get an aha moment. And I'm like, damn, that's clever.
You sell that print? Do you sell that as a print where people can put it on canvas? Or is that a one-off? Yep. Oh, you do?
Yeah, JeffSchaller.shop.
I might have to get in touch.
Yeah, get that one. If you want to see it in person, it was actually donated to the University of South Carolina.
And wow. It's
in a permanent collection.
Wow, that's awesome. Holy crap.
You have to make a road trip to South Carolina and then come back.
That's really cool, though. That's very cool. And that's a great piece, man. I got to tell you. Phenomenal piece.
Yeah.
I'm moving to a new apartment in about a month, and that might be a piece I might need up there somewhere, holding court. That's awesome. And, you know, a lot of your works are in the Coca-Cola Museum, which, to be honest with you, was something that I didn't really know about until I had Rob Mars on the show. I didn't realize Coca-Cola did that. So I thought that was kind of a cool thing. So talk to me about, what happened with that.
Actually, it was Rob that suggested me to one of his galleries.
They
reached out to me. And Burton Morris did a lot of pieces for that and did a huge Coca-Cola show. So I think I met Rob there too, because the CEO of Archives was there and met us. You know, Rob has a way better story about Coca-Cola than I do. I never got the tour. I might have gotten a free Coke, but I think everybody did. So I it was cool and an honor to be in that, and then to be in the book and to see your name next to all these fabulous artists. There is a friend and good collector of mine, Jean-Louis, who lives in Switzerland and has an amazing Coca-Cola collection and buys Coca-Cola artwork. So I think he might have lent some of the stuff to them too. He had a show at the Coca-Cola Museum with some of my stuff in there also. So
that's very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. That's not as awesome. Cool as Rob's story, but I was in
Rob there. Did, you know, yeah, for those listening, you know, definitely look back on earlier episodes, Robert Mars, when he came on, definitely check those out. Cause yeah, he did talk about the Coca-Cola Museum and everything. And that's so cool that they do that. And I major props to them for doing that. Cause that's not something you would think of for a soda brand.
No. They're like so they're so iconic and Americana that they actually go out and invest in America and in their brand and supported the artists for that.
Exactly. No, totally agree. And they have my respect. And I've been a Pepsi guy, but I've been drinking more Coca-Cola lately in honor. But you know, Jeff, what made you want to be an artist? When did you decide you wanted to be an artist? Was it an early age, and kind of what drove you to be what you are today?
It's the only thing I'm good at. I suck at math. I can't write. I barely read. So it was like, wow, I can do this and make money at it. Yeah.
Do you have that natural ability to be able to paint and draw and all that stuff? Because I don't have that.
Yeah, I've always, you know, not sounding cocky. I always knew I was going to be an artist, and
okay,
I always painted. Couple examples are, growing up in grade school, I can't write worth crap, and my reports stunk. But I would make a killer cover, and I would make a killer map in it, and that would boost me up to like a B+, A- range because of the cool cover, and then drawing stuff for teachers. And then we had a mailbox program, because I live out in rural America, where they said you should really paint your mailboxes. So I went around and painted people's mailboxes, like $1 a letter. And if you wanted something, it was great because my parents' name's Waskowitz. So I'm like, cha-ching. And if you wanted like a daisy or something on it, I was like, yeah, I'll paint that for $10. So,
right.
And then I painted jean jackets in high school, kept me from getting my ass kicked from, you know, all the smoking people in the smoking lounge and stuff like that. So I would get paid that. And I was like, wow, I can make money at this. And I like to do it. And I love to do it. It's like no brainer.
Yeah.
And I can have a cocktail. It's not like I'm saving lives or anything. I can have a cocktail and paint. No big deal.
That's awesome. All right, cool. That's great. I mean, what better than that, you know?
Yeah, I'm blessed. It's really the simple answer. It all worked out.
That's awesome. That's great. Talk to me about what it means to be collected nationally and internationally. So I'm assuming that means that people from all over the world have collected your artwork, but what does that mean for you, and what does that exactly entail?
Oof, I really try not to think about it, because... because it would blow my mind. How could I?
That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to boost the ego and blow your mind, Jeff.
Yeah, no. to think that people pay me for how much fun and enjoyment I have, and random stupid thoughts that I have in my studio, where, you know, like the Star Wars thing. For a minute there, I thought I was a genius. You know, I'm like, wow, this is a cool concept. Let me paint it. But like, then you put it out there and you're like, oh, I wonder if anybody relates to it. And to have somebody relate to it. And thank you. Thank you.
Me.
and then put their hard earned money to buy it is awesome. It's really special, because I know what it takes for me to make a dollar, and for somebody else to take that and make their money and then buy my painting to hang on their wall for enjoyment. is a cool, special thing. And you can connect to a lot of people. And art is one of those things that bridges all economic gaps, economic, political, racial gap. It's like, there's something you can find in a peace of mind that you can connect to any piece. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, that is really cool.
Did I answer your question? Or I sound like a politician that I
no, that's. That's awesome. No, that's a great answer from the heart. That's what we like here.
and being international, it gets me to travel. Who, you know, I love to travel on somebody else's dime. So if you want to have a show in Japan, let's go.
Are there some shows that you've traveled to? Where some places you've been?
Okay. Yeah, Switzerland. I've been shown in Switzerland for 15 years, I think.
How is Switzerland? Cool.
Going back and forth like every 2 years. They love my stuff. They yeah. I sound so cocky. I'm sorry.
No. This is great. No, not cocky. I mean, the hard work that you do goes into it. I mean, this is all great. This is all good stuff.
Yeah, they love portraiture over there for some reason. Like, I would paint paintings of my wife. My wife is way more famous in Switzerland than she is here. Any painting I did of my wife would sell over there in Switzerland.
Damn.
Europeans appreciate beauty, women a lot more. And I'm going to give you the example of, I had a piece that I did of my wife here and I was showing it at a show and a guy comes by. He's like, "Oh man, that's a beautiful painting." I'm like, "Oh, thanks." And he's like, "Man, she's beautiful." I'm like, "Oh, thanks. That's my wife." And he's like, "Oh dude, sorry." And I'm like, like, yeah, I'm the lucky one, man.
Yeah, don't worry. I wouldn't have done it if it was going to offend me.
Right, yeah, you can have the painting. I have her. And when I've done a couple of pieces, the first painting I did of her was it's a great piece. It's one of my favorite pieces, too. It's called Queen of Hearts. And people are like, are you going to let him sell that? And she's like, heck yeah, it's a mortgage payment. You can pay more.
In college, it's a tuition. We got some kids in college over here. What are we doing? Yeah. That's great.
So yeah, my wife sells really well over in Switzerland, and women paintings over here don't go as well. And there was a cultural barrier because of the lexicons and the word phrases that I use don't translate so well over there, but. They loved it. It was American.
Gotcha. And, you know, speaking of museums like we were before, your works are also in the Lancaster Museum, and that's in Pennsylvania. So, you know, what is that like, you know, having your works locally based and in a place such as that?
Honored. It was really cool. It's, I think, every artist dreams and desires to be in a museum. I'm going to give you a good segue here. It was the same time I was on Friends. And everybody was like, "Oh, you're on Friends. You're on Friends. You're on TV." I'm like, but as an artist, I'm in a museum. I'm permanently collected and appreciated by that establishment an artist, you know, reveres and looks forward to getting into. But nope, on TV, I'm famous. Like, the irony.
No, exactly. And it's a great segue because that was my next question. How did it come to be? You touched on it earlier, but how did it come to be that you got your works to be in Friends so that people can see it, so that you can see it, you know, in episode, everything like that? You know, how was that for you?
All right. It's kind of old news, but everybody knows that I dated Jennifer Aniston. And then Brad Pitt came around and wrecked it for us, but we had a really good thing going.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Not really. It makes a way better story. Again, all who you know, my buddy Burton Morris. I met him in Boston at a show. We had a show together, and he was on Friends. And he's a totally awesome artist, go-getter, and networker. And we were talking. He's like, "Hey, do you want to be on Friends? I can introduce you to the set designer." I'm like, "Heck yeah." And gave him my name. This was like back before with answering machines and voicemail and fax machines. So Greg Grande, the set designer, gave me a call, left a message on my message machine. It was like, "Hey, Monica and Richard are getting back together and we'd like to put your stuff in Richard's apartment." And I go to my wife. I'm like,
yeah,
I go to my wife. I'm like, Richard and Monica are getting back together. This is going to be so awesome. I'm like, I got inside information. This is awesome.
That's so cool.
And then I was like, holy crap, I'm going to be on Friends. So that was
a huge show.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. So then from there, I sent some more pieces that were in the background of Central Perk, and then sent out a piece that was in Ross and Rachel's apartment for like the four seasons. And that was awesome. So I went out there and I'm like, hey, I'm in California. Can I swing by the studio and hang out with you guys? You know, because, you know, hey, my stuff's on your walls. It really didn't go like that. That sounds good. But I got a day pass to go and walk around Warner Brothers. I got on the set and I'm sitting there in the orange sofa with Courtney Cox and flipping through my portfolio. And her and she's like, oh.
With Courtney Cox?
Yeah. Oh, Courtney Cox is super sweet. She was really, really nice.
You were, oh my gosh, on the couch in the cafe in Central Perk?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Dude. And I said hi to David Schwimmer, but they were all running around. So yeah.
What about Joey and Chandler? What about
they weren't around. They were out in the parking lot. It was kind of during the day. They said, hey, did you want to come back and
And what year was this?
Oh, actually, I have my ticket right here.
Oh my gosh. This is so cool. This is so awesome.
you might have to do video for this. February 20th.
Whoa.
2003.
Whoa.
Stage 24.
Whoa. That's.
Yeah. Right here.
4 days. In four days, it's February 20th. And here we are. And you've got something that says February 20th.
That's pretty crazy.
Oh my gosh.
And then I went back March 23rd. I have another pass. March 23rd, 2005, when I was on the Joey show.
Wow.
So.
The Joe. Wow.
And then, this is a hilarious story. You got time for a short story?
I would love a short story. That's what we're here for on the podcast. We love this stuff.
So, my first time being in LA, I think. I went by myself. God bless my wife. She let me go by myself because we just moved here and we had two kids. So they were really young. So I went to LA and went onto the Friends set, totally introduced myself and was over there and knew nobody. And so I went out to a restaurant. Nobody, like in LA, the best thing is the service is great because nobody knows if you're a director or a casting agent or somebody famous because all the waiters and waitresses are, you know, trying to get into the movies. So I'm sitting there in the restaurant talking and I call my wife and I was like, she's like, how was it? And I was like, oh my gosh, it was amazing. I met Courtney Cox. We were sitting there on the Friends set and we started talking. And all of a sudden after I got off the phone, like 20 people came up to me because they overheard my conversation and were like, oh, hey, how are you? What are you doing in LA? I'm like, oh, I see how this role works here. You're just talking to me because I was on Friends. So that was pretty cool. That solidified the whole Friends gig, stuff like that.
That is so cool, man. I got to tell you. And I mean, from someone who watches Friends so much and the fact that you sat on the couch on the set at Central Perk with Courtney Cox, that's so cool. That's so cool. Yeah. I mean, I wish I was a fly on the wall for that. Trust me, that would be so cool.
I wish I had a camera. Back then, cell phones didn't have cameras on it and be like, hey, can we take a picture? Can I take a selfie?
Yeah, that reminds me of a story real quick. I don't think I've ever told here on the show is that my mom, she worked for the Hartford Whalers hockey team when they were in Hartford, Connecticut. And she worked for them for 8 years as a skybox manager. And Gordie Howe was a good friend of hers. Gordie really liked my mom. She called her name was Darlene, but Gordie called her darling. And, you know, my mom was good looking. She was very good looking. And she was much younger than Gordie Howe. And Gordie Howe had a ball. He had to go to a charity for the, you know, governor of Connecticut was going to be there, something like that. And his wife couldn't go, Mrs. Hockey. She was sick. And so she asked my mom, my mom if he would go with her to this, you know, this charity ball or fundraiser, or whatever it was. And so, you know, my mom goes, well, I have to ask my husband. So Gordy called my dad at work and asked him if it was okay. And my dad was like, yeah, no problem. And of course, Gordy was joking and was funny about it. And so my mom went and she sat between Gordie Howe and Manute Ball right across from the governor of Connecticut. And I remember her saying, you know, she passed in 2019, unfortunately. So I carry this story on with me that she told me. But I remember she said, man, I wish cell phones had cameras at this time, because if I could document this moment, it would be something else. So I totally get what you mean by that. So I thought I'd share that real quick.
That's an awesome story. See, now we have you to carry it on.
Exactly. Exactly.
We have this podcast. We have this podcast for it to live forever.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm sure she would love it. So I just wanted to share that. And you know, that's so cool about Friends. You know, like I said, I absolutely love Friends. It's so great. It's a great show.
Thanks. You can actually go. So they actually purchased a replica of the Cup of Joe, and it's hanging at the museum now. So you can go. And I just took my son, his girlfriend, and my daughter, and now fiance, to Warner Brothers back October, and we went there. We sat on the sofa of Friends, and there's my painting in the back. But I kind of was like, again, it was so stoogy. The painting was crooked. It was hung crooked. So it annoys the hell out of me. So I'm standing there and, you know, the people that work there are just like, you know, sit down, smile, get up, move, sit down, smile, get up, you know, look over here. And I'm like, this is going to sound really weird, but that's my painting back there and it's crooked. Can I go back and straighten it? I guess they were kind of like, what other idiot would say something like that? So they're like, sure. Yeah, go ahead. Really? That's your painting? I'm like, yeah, it was on the set. So I went back there and straightened it. And now the set looks a lot better.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I got to get out there. And did they specifically come to you and ask you for those paintings, or were those paintings that you had did before?
All of them, except for the Cup of Joe, which was on the last episode. They commissioned me and they said, hey, we would really like, you know, a special piece for the last episode. So I did that painting for them, and it was on the Today Show, it was on Oprah, it was so we're watching the last episode, and then Oprah did a special on it. And this is where I go back to how famous I really could be. So we're watching Oprah, actually where I was working, everybody sat around the TV. And all the employees were all sitting around the TV, and Oprah's going, she's like, oh my gosh, I'm on the set of Friends. This is amazing. Here's the coffee shop. And here's the orange sofa. And then she goes over to the coffee, the barista bar. And she's like, oh my gosh, these brownies are real. And the coffee cups are real. And she turns and there's my painting, and they cut to commercial.
No.
Yep. So I don't know. I could be famous right now. I could be Dr. Phil in the art world, but she cut to commercial.
I thought you were the guy who was on her show jumping up and down on the couch. That wasn't you?
Losing my mind. Yeah, that was me. Jeff.
Are you sure?
I was the guy that came back and straightened the cushions when he was done, just to straighten.
I hear you. The OCD. I got it too. Oh my God, that's great. That's so great. Oh,
that was my Oprah thing.
So. What a great story. Wow. So many great stories. And you know, one thing I never got to ask a guest of mine who was an artist is what Bob Ross meant to them. Was Bob Ross someone that you watched when you were young? What do you think of Bob Ross? Because I know so many people, when they think art, they think Bob Ross. And you know, what he did was cool, but what's your thoughts on Bob Ross?
Yeah, good and bad. Like, I watched him, and there's another Italian dude that would paint too. And Bob just made it look so easy. And it was amazing what you could do with a paintbrush and a spatula and just like drag it and make it look like mountains. Yes, and happy trees and dance and prance and it made painting look so much fun. And I did watch him. I don't think I ever recreated some of his stuff, but took away from the highlights and the shadows and stuff like that. The bad part is probably 80% of America thought that's what good art looks like. So, you know, it's hanging over everybody's sofa and stuff like that. I have a picture. I have a statue of him over in the corner over there. I don't know if you can see him, but there's Bob Ross.
I'm so glad I brought him up. I didn't even know. That's so cool.
Hanging out in the background. Now he's kind of like, he made it to the icon status. And there's a great show. I don't know what it was, on Netflix or something, that talked about him.
And about how people stole his money after he died. People were trying to trademark him and take advantage of his likeness.
And he made three paintings of each one. One to practice, one during the show, and one as a final shot. So, and there's the company that sponsored him or whatever has all these paintings. And he wanted to cut his hair because he thought his perm looked stupid. And they're like, no, that's your trademark.
So, and now you can't go to a Halloween party without Bob Ross with a paintbrush and a freaking paintboard and the hair and everything. You can't go a Halloween without seeing someone who's dressed as Bob Ross.
True.
There's Bob Ross everything. Bob Ross snow globes. There's tons of different Bob Ross merchandise. Yep. It's nuts. And that's what that show was talking about, how after he passed, which was really sad because he didn't tell anyone that he was sick, and he was sick for a lot of the episodes he was doing. And he just didn't want anyone to know. He wanted to make everyone positive and happy, and just very interesting guy. Very interesting.
Yep. And again, like all artists, he made all his money after he was dead, you know. They just merchandised and marketed everything like that.
Yep. So no,
I'm trying, exactly. trying to make as much now as I can. Maybe exactly. more after.
You know, with your work and with your art, I'm sure there's a lot of patience, time, thought that develops and goes on with the pieces that you do. And sort of, you know,
you're making me look too good.
No, I'm serious, because to me, you know, painting's almost like cooking. It's like, it's very daunting. It's a process. It's, you know, a vision. There's certain things going on there, and you know, you have to be patient with the outcome and understand, you know, I don't know. And if you mess up a little thing here, it's kind of hard to make it work. So kind of talk to me about sort of your process when you paint. You know, is it really patience and thought and everything like that?
Nope. No, not really. It's fun. I think half my problem is I overthink something too much, or there's like little nuances that nobody gets, which is totally fine. And then it becomes a labor of love. If I can get into it, and I usually have like 5-6 paintings going on at a time, just because I have so many ideas and I just trying to get things done and have another idea. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I have a short attention span. So it's kind of like, oh, let's work on this squirrel. And then you're over here running over at this nut. You're like, oh, and then something like doesn't work out. And you're like, oh, let's go over here to make this painting. Maybe I'm addicted. Maybe I have problems. You know, it's like, oh, this painting will make me happy. Let's work on this one. And my daughter was my assistant for the longest time too, which was awesome. And I was just like, you're making art. You can't screw it up. Like there's nothing bad that can happen. Again, I can drink. I'm not a brain surgeon. I'm not saving lives. I'm not solving world hunger. Me in my studio, if I screw something up, get the sand belt out and start sanding it away. When I would paint with encaustic, get the blowtorch, melt it, and take a razor to it. That is the most fulfilling and satisfying thing, is knowing, okay, I have to stop. I'm going down a bad path here. Scrape it off and start over. You really have to, like, 20 hours into a piece and be like, nope, not working. Get the sander out and sand off the face. And just being okay with that. That is a beauty and an appreciation of time that I don't think many people can afford.
Gotcha. That's very cool. Do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite piece that you've done, or are they all your favorites?
It depends. They're all my favorites. Yeah. Well, when you buy it, they're all my favorites.
You know, you have some up on your wall behind you. You know, you got a Wonder Bread one, which is super cool. One that says Crush. It's just very cool. Very, very cool, you know, pieces that you got hanging up. And I'm just curious, like, is there one where you're like, yeah, like, that's it? Or is it just, it's just a love. It's just a love all around.
Yeah, no. One is, you know, is a quip. You know, my favorite is the one on the easel that's not finished yet, because that gets me up in the morning. Yes, that Queen of Hearts that I did of my wife, that was a special piece that I can look at. I just did another one recently called Good and Plenty that I did. And I sounded cocky. I knew it was good. Like, I hate saying that, but I brought it out to art shows and showed it, and everybody was like, wow, I can't afford it, or it was big. I don't have enough room for that piece. And there's a couple people that came back and saw it and were like, can you do something similar to that? Because I really like that, and I wish I got it. And when you have that feeling of somebody coming back being like, man, that piece stuck with me, that was good. And the Star Wars piece, there's a lot of paintings that I do that I come back to, and it also like sends me back to where I was and what I was thinking, and like basically what I had for dinner, breakfast, and that day. Like, oh wow, I remember that piece, which is kind of cool. It's special.
That's awesome. Definitely talk to me about what you're drinking, by the way, also, because Rob Mars was like, Jeff's a bourbon guy. You're going to love him. You know, he knows his bourbon. He loves his bourbon. I'm like, so do I. I was like, it must be a Jeff thing. So what exactly are you sipping on? Because I got a Manhattan here where I am, but what do you got?
Well, I decided to do Whistle Pig for every 20 minutes. So I started with the Whistle Pig 12-year-old rye, moving down to the 10-year, and then I got Whistle Pig the Roadstock rye whiskey.
Love it.
They drove across country with and put it in the barrels. Yeah, I like bourbon. Bourbon's American made. I love a Manhattan. The key to the Manhattans is Antica vermouth. Like, I learned that, and that like blew my mind. I was like, that and a Luxardo cherry.
Yes, Luxardo is the best.
Yeah, but the best thing about it, because Antica is so expensive, you can use like Evan Williams bourbon. Probably a lot of bourbon haters are going to be out there like, what? But why? It's the Antique is so masking that you can use a simple bourbon for it. No sense of using a Whistle Pig.
Exactly.
Bring it up with the sweet vermouth. Yeah, I really do love my cocktails. And I question myself sometimes, but I think that I'm a seasonal drinker. And this summer was tequila and Mai Tais.
I love tequila.
It's such a great summer drink. And just, and then I started getting into mezcals and stuff like that.
Oh, mezcal's great.
Oh, good.
Give me the smoky margaritas.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I got a little, I just had a smoked, Negroni earlier. Ooh. We have a cocktail. We have a cocktail hour, me and my wife, you know, kind of sit down, recap, talk about what happened during the day.
Smoke Negroni. There we go. Jeff Schaller.
Or Bolvadier. Yeah, Bolvadier, which is instead of gin, throw in bourbon. The other day I went to the liquor, the beer store. We have beer distributors here in Pennsylvania. And the kid in front of me had White Claw and a case of Miller Lite. I think the bill came to like $45. I came in and I had two beers. I had a Goose Island bourbon stout, and I bought the maple one from 2019. And my bill was like $50. I'm like, here's the difference between somebody that's in college looking to get drunk and somebody that appreciates the finer side of life.
So true.
The good beverages. So
no, it's so true. Those two bottles can add up for sure. No, you're 100% right. And you know, now that we've talked so much about what you've done, what you do, your works, everything like that, definitely tell the good people listening where they can find you. I mean, you know, you mentioned your website, but where you are on social media, your Instagram, and how people can purchase your works and hang them and everything like that.
All right. Shout out. You can find me on Instagram, Jeff Shaler, Facebook too. I try to post as much as frequently, but I'm not as great of a poster because I'm too busy either drinking or painting. And you can purchase my artwork on my website or galleries in New Hope and Lambertville. There's PCAL Gallery, Gallery ID in Switzerland, Arlo and Company in New Orleans, and you can get me at Adler and Company in San Francisco. I'm probably forgetting a couple of galleries, but and I also do some outdoor shows. I'll be at Philadelphia Rittenhouse in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Rehoboth Beach. Yeah, so I travel. Check out my website. I try email me. Basically, is probably the best way of getting in touch with me.
No. Awesome. Very cool. Very, very, very cool. Jeff Shaler, amazing guy. Oh my gosh, coming at us from Pennsylvania at his home studio, which is very, very cool. Done so many great things, and we're so glad he came on the show. And you know, Jeff, I have two questions for you before we go. And one is, you know, sure. What can you say to people out there who are maybe new to art, want to pursue it, and you know, maybe want to turn it into a passion of theirs, maybe a career? What could you say to them? And my second question will come right after that.
Paint. Well, okay. If you're an artist or you're a painter, paint, and get really good at it. When you're painting and sell it for cheap, because people are actually paying you to learn and to get better. So don't think you're going to make $10,000 paintings. Start with $25, you know, and then that just gives you credibility, and it helps that people are like, wow. Again, think about it. People are spending their hard-earned money for you to get better at painting. Just keep at it. Keep at it.
Awesome.
And find the joy in it.
Awesome. I love it. I absolutely love it. And my last question I ask my guests before they leave me,
uh-oh,
and I've been doing for a long time since I started the show, which is, you know, Connecticut here where I am and where you used to be, we're known for our pizza. Our pizza is the best. It's number one in the country. So when you were in Connecticut, was there a pizza place you really liked? If there was, in New Haven, anywhere else, doesn't matter. And where you are, is there a place over there in Pennsylvania people should check out? And not only pizza, but is there a restaurant in Pennsylvania or a certain place that you like to go where, hey, maybe people, when they're in their area, should check out?
Oh, the pizza place in Ellington, it was, I don't know what it was called. It's not there anymore, but there's a distillery there now. So I did go back there. It was Pasquale's Pizza, Pasquini's. We always used to go there after the dances. I never made it down to Mystic Pizza in New Haven or New Haven to go get some really good pizza. My bad, but I'll go up there next time.
Don't worry.
When you're in PA, I definitely have to give a shout out to Iron Hill Brewery. My murals and artwork grace all their buildings. They have good beer and some great food.
Okay, and you get to see awesome. My artwork. Iron Hill. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that in your bio that you had some work in Iron Hill. That sounds
They're down in South Carolina now too. They're down in Atlanta. So they're going up and down the East Coast. So maybe we'll bring one up to Hartford and eat, drink, and look at my artwork. Like live vicariously through me.
Why not, man? And I'm so glad we got to live through you today by hearing your stories and everything that you've done. And I'm so glad you could join me on the show. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I wish you nothing but the best. I'm going to be following you like I already have. And, you know, like I've always said to all my guests, onward and upward, and I'm just super excited to see what you do next, what art you have next. And I'm definitely looking forward to reaching out and getting a nice little canvas piece of that Star Wars for sure.
Thank you. You're too kind. Thanks for asking questions and listening to me babble. Hopefully it made sense and is inspiring. And come down and pick up your piece.
Yeah, no, I'd love to.
Bring that fam down and come down and pool, and we'll have a good time. I got a guest bedroom in the studio. So how many kids do you have?
I don't have any kids. It's just
I thought you had kids. I'm sorry.
No, it's just me and my girlfriend. Just me and my girlfriend. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
come on down then.
Even better, even easier.
Exactly.
I'm speaking your language. Speaking your language. But no, Jeff. Thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it. And, you know, was there something we left out, something you want to mention before we go, something you could think of that, man, I want to say this, I want to get this out there, or are we ready to rock and roll?
No, I'm a horrible promoter. No, I just appreciate the time and the questions.
Awesome. Cool. Well, listen, Jeff, I appreciate you. I definitely look forward to coming by over there in Pennsylvania. I accept the invite. I will be coming by. I'll be in touch. I wish you nothing but the best, and thank you so much for joining me on Sweeten Up Podcast, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Cheers, mate.
Huge thanks once again to my guest on the podcast today, Mr. Jeff Schaller. Thank you so much, Jeff, for coming on the show. I had an absolute blast chatting and getting to learn about all the great things you have done and continue to do. Wish you nothing but the absolute best, and I will take you up on that offer to visit you in Pennsylvania this summer. Yet again, another episode of Sweeten Up is in the books. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. We would greatly appreciate your feedback and support. As a reminder, you can play the podcast with the help of your smart speaker by simply saying, "Play the podcast Sweeten Up with Jeff Spencer." Thank you as always to my best friends, the guys who make it all possible, post-production and music Morgan Lutzi, production and art director Kurt Vinci, editor and writer who just turned 30 this week, happy birthday Nick Passacretta, and a special thanks as always to Devin Cipelli. My guest on the podcast next week is a total rock star and baking champ, the great Tina Zaccardi. Tina Zaccardi is a world-class baker from Westchester County, New York. She is known on social media as the Italian Cookie, and she has appeared on The Chew, The Today Show, The Rachel Ray Show, Hallmark Home and Family, Bridge Street TV, Daytime, and was the season 4 winner of ABC's The Great American Baking Show, making her one of the top bakers in America. We covered it all, but until then, you know the deal. Stay safe, stay healthy, love you all. Peace.